This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is program number 17 of this series. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. And all are welcome to all of our services. In an earlier program, we began talking about Bible storms and what we can learn from them. We discussed briefly the storm that is associated with Noah and Jonah and Elijah and the storm across Galilee. And we spent a little time on talking about the storms that occurred in the book of Job. And what I want to do at this time is turn to the book of Psalms and see some of the things that the book of Psalms says about storms. Now, storms are mentioned several times in the book of Psalms, just as maybe in a verse or two, like it is in Psalm 93, verses 3 through 4, where it says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waters of the sea." If you ever stood on the beach and seen a storm out over the ocean, it's beautiful to see. And the storm over the ocean causes the disturbance that increases the intensity and the height of the power of the waves that are coming in on the shore. And so you've got the floods of many waters there. And the Lord is higher and mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And so you see here how David sees a storm. It's a display of the power and glory of God and realizing that God is mightier than the storm. We'll read about a storm in the 104th Psalm, 104, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters." And then he says this, "Who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." I remember living out in Nebraska, and I'd see the storms come rolling across those prairies, the great billowing clouds being blown to the eastern part of this country out of the west, and the way those black clouds would roll across that prairie. And I would think of this psalm, how he makes his chariots in the clouds. He walks upon the wings of the wind. I think of how our Lord walked across the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm, and there was no fear for him. I can see him calmly walking across that sea toward his fearful apostles that are in that boat. And yet, I think of that when that wind blows those dark clouds by. He walketh on the wings of the wind. There is a psalm that I call the Thunderstorm Psalm. It is the 29th psalm. And it's got a expression in here. Seven times in the 29th psalm, you read the phrase, "the voice of the Lord." And when I read that to you, I'm going to read the psalm, and as I read it to you, I want you to think of the voice of the Lord as a thunderclap, and you'll see how well that fits in this psalm. So here it is. It begins, Psalm 29, a psalm of David, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I want to set this up as we think about this psalm. If you could locate this geographically, it seems to me that the psalmist is standing somewhere on a hill, looking out on one end, looking to the west and seeing the Mediterranean Sea. And on the hills behind him is that mountain range of Sirion, which would include Mount Hermon. And then on beyond over those mountains is the wilderness of Kadesh, a wooded wilderness. And he sees that storm coming in off of that Mediterranean and coming in its full fury right over him. And then up over the mountains and into that wilderness. And that very beautiful graphic storm reminds him of the glory of God. Let's look how this psalm starts. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Who are the mighty? Does man think he is mighty? Some men might think they are very mighty. But my, how does their might compare with the might of the Lord? Now, he's the one with the glory, and he's the one with the strength. And how small even a mighty man feels when he's faced with the billowing and the tempest of a storm bearing down upon them. He says in verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. And then this, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship is beautiful because it is holy. The kind of worship David's talking about here that is beautiful is the worship of holy people doing holy things in honor of a holy God. I know there are some that say, well, everything you do is worship. And there is a sense in which everything we do is done with the acknowledgement of God and to glorify God and in service of God. But that doesn't mean everything is worship in the way David is talking about. If everything were set apart, then nothing would be set apart. There's something about worship that is holy, and we do holy things. Those things that are authorized by the word of God to worship him. We come before the Lord in the manner in which he has said to come before him in worship. And so we zero in on those things the New Testament teaches us about worship and worship that way. And he accepts worship from a holy people. His church, the called out of this world, those who are set apart, and God himself is set apart. How beautiful that is. Holy people doing holy things in honor of a holy God. That is worship in the beauty of holiness. And then the thunderclaps in verse 3, Psalm 29, 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. You hear it out over the ocean? The glory of God thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. And then the storm breaks upon you. The voice of the Lord is powerful, verse 4. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. That forest of cedars up in Lebanon is famed for its glory and its beauty and those strong trunks of those trees. And think of a storm blowing into the midst of that forest of those massive and beautiful cedars and breaking them apart in its fury. And there you see the power and majesty of the Lord. And then in verse 6 of Psalm 29, he maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. Now when you read the unicorn in the King James Version, don't think about the legendary horse that has one horn coming out of his head. That's not what it's talking about there. They didn't know exactly what beast this was, but they knew it was some kind of horned animal, the translators did. And today they think, and they're not certain, but they think this may have been a wild ox that is now extinct, sort of like maybe the American buffalo has been in this country, and so also some kind of wild oxen that was over in this area of Lebanon or around Mount Hermon. And so think of that as the unicorn, the horned beast. But then the little calf and the unicorn to skip. Well, you know, I skip sometime when the thunder claps. I'll jump. And you can see these animals, if you ever watch cows, a thunderclap can cause the cattle to jump. The reason we have the legend of the singing cowboys is they'd go out at night and ride around their cattle, and they would hear the cowboy's voice sing to know that everything was okay. But then a thunderclap, well, that could cause a stampede. And so it says he maketh them to skip like a calf in Lebanon and Syria, and like a young unicorn. Not that the mountains themselves would move, but if you were on the mountain and you heard that, you would jump as though that mountain had moved. And then in verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Well, think of the lightning. And then verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. What are we talking about? It maketh the hinds to calve. Well, the hind is a little animal out in the wilderness. And as you can imagine, maybe the thunder sounding so loud and the lightning so close that in fright they give premature birth. I suppose that's the meaning. But translators have come along later and restudied some of these Hebrew words. And in the difficulty of the Hebrew language at some point, they have suggested that this might ought to read that the voice of the Lord twisteth the oaks. And that would certainly fit the context of a storm going through the wilderness, the mighty oaks being twisted and tumbled to the ground, and then discovereth the forest as the leaves are stripped away. And then in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Don't think of the temple in Jerusalem. Think of the temple of God's forest in the wilderness as the storm goes through. And you see and realize the glory of God in that. In verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. God rides upon the wings of the wind, and these clouds are his chariots, as we read earlier. He is not intimidated by this storm. He rides across with it as though it is his own. In 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. So here's a psalm that begins with a mighty storm, and then it ends in peace. And so a very beautiful psalm. There's another psalm I want to mention in Psalm 107, beginning in verse 23. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships and do their business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waters thereof. They mount into heaven, and they go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Psalm 107, verses 23 through 31. So also the storms of our life. They seem so furious at times we wonder how we'll get through. But we stay faithful to the Lord. He rides upon the storm. And in his own way, in his own time, he'll bring us into our desired haven. And there we will enjoy his rest and his peace. Think of these psalms next time you're in the midst of a storm. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I'm Bill Boyd. You may email or text me at WMH. WMHBOYD at AOL.com. That's WMHBOYD at AOL.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.